The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And what a great afternoon it has already been. Joe Tessitore, our first guest. We also talked to Mike Golic, some fond remembrances of his longtime 22-year run with Mike and Mike, and later Golic and Wingo. We will talk to the head coach of the University of Kentucky coming up here in just a few moments. So we were talking to Patrick in St. Louis, a former coach. Patrick, thanks for holding on. Let me go right back to you.
So we were talking about the RPO rule. And just for listeners' benefit, the rule is that an offensive lineman can go down the field 3 yards, no more than 3 yards, at the point of releasing the ball by the quarterback on a pass. It's really a hairy rule, but if I'm a defensive linebacker and my key is an uncovered lineman and he comes running out to me, the basic key is it's a running play. I'm going to take him on based on my secondary key of where the ball is. I've talked to a couple of officials, one to college, one to high school, and they talked about how difficult it is to judge that because it's a live-action play. Who is calling that? Usually it's a guy from the side, either the linesman or the guy opposite him. And the high school guy, I said, why don't you just take 3 good-sized steps when the ball snapped, watch what you're supposed to, and glance back, and when that ball's released, if you see a lineman past you, then throw the flag. But he said, well, even that's really difficult. And of course, the umpire can't rule on that because he can see the quarterback, but it's hard for him to watch the lineman coming downfield on a pass. And officials, I mean, I think they do a great job at both levels. It's a thankless job in a way, but you know, they have some stop action calls. I was watching the Florida LSU game from this past season, and when LSU went on their second touchdown ahead of Florida, they were in an illegal formation. They were 2 by 2, 2 receivers on each side, but the 2 on the wide side of the field were both off the line of scrimmage. On the other side, there was 1-on-1 off. They only had 6 men on the line of scrimmage, and they got 7 points. And that's something that you see before the play even starts. So I know a lot of people like to see offense, but I think the defense is at a tremendous disadvantage with that RPO rule.
Coach, I'm curious. You said you coach more than 30 years. Is that correct?
Yes. High school.
I'm fascinated by just, I mean, you were coaching at a time when the game changed quite a bit. What struck you the most as you watched it unfold?
The offense and the passing game really has changed, even in high school ball. We ran into a couple of teams over the last couple of years that I coached that were throwing teams. And you could see that was going to become the going thing. But we were still able to play more zone-type defense, and you really have to be able to play both man-to-man and zone. But at high school, it's a little easier with coverages than it is at the college level because the quarterbacks are so good in college and so quick, and the receivers are too. The caller that talked about Alabama, just one quick comment, and Alabama's defense. If you really check back, the number of plays that their defense was on the field was very few. And one of the main reasons for that was that they are a ball control offensive team. While you look at a team, and I love Mike Leach, but Mike Leach's defenses are on the field forever because they score so quick on offense. And so that discussion on defense, you have to take that into consideration.
Yeah, you sound like a former coach. I've had so many conversations with coaches from the past, and you know what they say. It's all about getting your defense off the field.
Right. And it's not easy.
No.
But the RPO thing, I wish somebody would change that rule. Don't let those guys run down the field. I mean, it's just it makes it too hard on the defense.
Coach, I'm curious, when you watch a game now, I mean, you know it so well. What are you watching the lines of scrimmage? Or are you watching what are you watching?
I really watch the line of scrimmage. I was a defensive coordinator, but I was also an offensive line coach. And I love watching offensive line. I love to see how they block the defense and their technique in particular. There was a UVA and New York Jet blocker named Brickshaw Ferguson. Mm-hmm. And watching clips of him when he played, he missed one play in 10 years. Continuously was on the field on offense. And his technique was just exactly what I taught, that I learned from a guy in high school years and years ago. And, you know, he used his legs. He got underneath the guy when he struck him on pass protection and stopped the charge. One of these days, offensive line coaches are going to wise up and say, let's get guys that play offensive line that are not only strong, but they can move and bend their knees and get underneath people and are as quick as defensive guys. I'm seeing defensive ends that are 250 pounds sometimes, and I'm thinking, how can they have an end like that at a major college that small? But the guy's so quick, he runs around that offensive tackle because that guy can't move.
Just fascinating. I could talk about this all day. It's so interesting to get into the technique of the game with someone who taught it. One last thing.
It's disappointing that more commentary of games, mm-hmm. they don't talk about what's going on at the line of scrimmage. I mean, we get to see the quarterback wince after he gets up and all that stuff. What happened up there, you know? Who really let that guy go? They talk about a guy making a great play. Well, he was untouched because somebody screwed up their blocking assignment. I think I could make that play.
That is interesting.
Really.
but one last question.
Sure.
From a technical standpoint, I've talked to plenty of coaches who I know the game changes, but in terms of what you taught, either defensively or on the line, I mean, has it really changed that much from the technical part?
I don't think technical it has. I think, you know, as coaches, I think some coaches, the guy does his technique not as well as he should, but he's so talented he can get away with it. But, of course, the crunch time is when he meets a guy that's just as good across from him. But the techniques, I think, are still pretty much the same. I don't understand. I coach secondary also, and I don't understand defensive backs running up against the receiver when the ball's in the air and trying to find the ball or not even seeing the ball. That, to me, is like sending lettuce by rabbit. It makes no sense to me. If I stay inside him and I have ball time and I'm close to him, but I don't have to be up against him, I can see the ball. And I can't play the ball if I can't see it. That's a tough technique to have.
Hey,
to tell the guy,
Coach, as you learn,
see the ball, but you got to put your hands between his hand, your hand right between his when he reaches for the ball.
Finally, as you learn the game and as you ultimately matriculated to becoming a coach, who were those coaches that you studied, read about, tried to meet, and consumed everything you could from?
I listened a lot to Bud Wilkinson. That's how old I am.
pretty good coach.
And John McKay. I was very impressed with them. And there were so many good coaches in that era. And I just got to hear them at clinics, you know. I heard Bear Bryant one time at a clinic talking about defense, and he never talked about it until the last 2 minutes. And he said, oh, I guess I'm supposed to talk about defense. So if we think they're going over here, and he had an overhead. That's how old that was. And he put a bunch of X's there. He said, if we think they're running there, we put all these guys over here. And then we put a couple over here in case we're wrong. That was it.
He only won 6 national championships. He did okay.
Right.
Well, Coach, what a pleasure. I hope you'll call back. I have had a blast listening to you.
Thank you. It's great to talk with you. Have a good day.
You bet. Coach, 35-year veteran of high school football, calling from St. Louis. I mean, those guys are so rich with their knowledge, and it's so simple, too. I don't know why we try to make it complicated. We are going to take a break. It's already been a great show with Joe Tess and Mike Golic. Mark Stoops, the head coach of the University of Kentucky, will join us when we come back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back on this Friday, and we're a week and one day away from SEC football, and one of those people very interested in that first weekend is our next guest. He is Coach Mark Stoops, by way of the region's guest line. Coach, great to have you on as always, and we're almost there. We're not quite there, but we are getting closer, and I bet you're relieved and a little bit eager and anxious to get this thing going.
Well, without a doubt. Good to be on. Good to be talking with you and getting back in the swing of things. It, you know, it just seems like it's been an awful long time. And just like most people, we're anxious to get back out there and get playing, but grateful for the opportunity.
Yeah, you're right, Coach. Every day you look around and there's a game scrapped here and there, and conferences come and go. But the SEC made its decision. I'm sure it seems like a long wait, but you're also, as everyone is, concerned that we get it right. What's it been like getting ready for the opening weekend next week?
You know, it's been, you know, in certain ways it feels very normal when we're out there on the practice field and we could coach our guys and have some fun, you know, just competing and practicing. But and then other times it's, you know, obviously drastically different, like everything, you know, in our world right now. So you just got to adapt, do the very best you can. I feel like our players have been very good, very grateful for our medical team here. Percentage-wise, we've been very fortunate. Our numbers have been low. Hopefully we'll continue to stay that way. Adapt, you know, just got to adapt to the situation and do the very best you can.
I always hear coaches talk about, you know, you can only control certain things, but I would think no matter how hard you try to avoid it, you have to be thinking about those things that can creep up and create havoc. As a coach, how do you deal with the unknown?
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, we have to just stay on top of our roster. I think you constantly hear me and all coaches talk about developing players, developing depth. And I think this year it's monumental because we can get hit at any point with, being positive for COVID or with contact tracing. And so, you know, one of your position rooms or, you know, a great deal of your team can be taken out at any time. And, you have to be ready and have a bunch of depth, and you got to continue to work with the threes and get them ready because you just don't know who you're going to have to count on. We try to deal with it as best we can. We have, depth charts that identify who has had it. So you have a pretty strong chance you're going to have those guys and be ready for about anything.
Talking to Coach Mark Stoops of the University of Kentucky, opening at Auburn. I guess there are no easy games, but you certainly got one of the more difficult road games. How are the preparations going?
Preparations are going very good. We've had, our numbers have been down as far as positives and staying relatively healthy. We've had good physical practices. You know, with this extended weeks as well, it seems like it's an awful long time, but you know, it also gives you an opportunity to have some built-in days off and keep your team fresh. We're going to need that with playing 10 SEC games. Certainly a big challenge right off the bat going at Auburn, but practice has been going very good.
Coach, let's talk about your team for a second. And I know the from just we're a talk show. We get calls all the time, and your fans are fired up, as always, talking about the quarterback situation. I mean, you dealt with so many uncertainties last year. I would think you have to be a little more comfortable, at least going into the season.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. You know, we feel like, you know, a year ago we had some things happen. And again, you have to adapt to it and do the very best you can, and we did. And but this year I really do. I feel like the quarterback position is a strength. You know, you get Terry back. I feel very good about Terry. We are putting him in as many situations as we can to get him game ready. But, you know, he'll have a bit of rust. We have to play good around him as well. But I like what I'm seeing out of Terry. I feel like he has his strength back. He has his quickness. He has no fear with pulling the ball down and scrambling and buying time and throwing the ball down the field or scrambling to run for yards. He's still very quick and very electric with the ball in his hands. And then, you know, we don't know about Joey Gatewood yet, the Auburn transfer, so I'm waiting to hear whether he gets cleared or not by the first game. And then Bo Allen, we have a true freshman that we've been recruiting for a long time that's really impressed us. And Sawyer Smith is back with us, that's, you know, very healthy this year and looking good. So I feel like it went from a weakness maybe a year ago until we got Lynn going. Then it became a strength, but it was difficult for a while, that transition when we got some injuries. And this year we feel like we have some more options for sure, Paul.
One final thing on that, in relation to Joey Gatewood. I mean, I have no idea how the NCAA works, and if somebody does, I wish they'd let us all know. But do you have a feeling that you'll know by next week, or is it unclear?
I believe we will know. As you know, it's two parts, because it's from one SEC school to another. We have to get it cleared by the NCAA and also the SEC. So I believe we will have an answer by next week.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we've seen some – we saw a decision yesterday from Georgia to Tennessee. So maybe Joey's next. I have no idea, Let's hope for your sake. Before you go, I want to talk about your program, because I jokingly talked about your fans, and I mean, this is about the third year in a row, Coach. Your fans are pretty ticked off at the beginning of the season because they just don't feel like the Cats are getting enough respect. That's probably a good thing. I mean, your fans are now expecting more. Let's talk for a second about where this program is and how you got here.
Well, you know, the expectations, I mean, we have high expectations within our program, within our building, and we expect a lot of ourselves, and I'm okay with the fan base feeling that way as well. I can't control any outside media, and you know, that's all just talking points, as you know, Paul. You know, it really matters how you finish, and you know, we have a long road ahead of us this year. We're going to take it one game at a time. You know the typical coach speak, but it's so true. We can't get, you know, ever afford to get out in front of ourselves. You know, we've got a lot of work to do. We've got a big challenge with this first game. And let's put it this way. We'll have plenty of opportunities to prove our point, right? And this is a very exciting and difficult season ahead of us.
And finally, on that subject, you mentioned the 10 conference games. Certainly, it is challenging. You know these teams, but we have built-in bye weeks, but who knows what is going to be used and what not. Is it any different, or how different is it preparing this year than in previous years?
I don't, you know, not much different, other than really making it a point of emphasis to continue to go deeper as you get into the season. You know, I think that's very important, to continue to work with and spend some extra time with your young players, because you're going to count on them this year. You're going to need them more than ever. I think just with the odds are that you know, you're going to get hit at different positions with COVID, and you have to have some guys ready to step up, where in years past, you know, you could have some injuries for sure, but not like it is this year, with the extreme of how many players you're going to need. So you're going to need a deep roster. And I think that's the biggest difference.
Coach, always great to catch up with you. Best wishes, and we will hopefully see you very soon.
Thanks a lot, Paul. Appreciate
you got it.
It.
Coach Mark Stoops, University of Kentucky head coach, as we are a week and 2 days, a week and 1 day, excuse me, away from their first game at Auburn. We'll take a break. Much more to come here on a Friday afternoon.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back, and what a busy day it has been. A couple of great guests to start the program. Joe Tessitore, back in college football for the first time in 3 years, started the program. Mike Golic, he's now doing college games after leaving ESPN Radio. Those are among the guests. We still have a lot more to get to. You just heard from Coach Stoops. Let's get back to our calls, and Judge Chris is up next in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hello, Judge. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Paul. It's a scary day in court, but it's good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Talked to the general counsel today, the assistant general counsel at Clemson, a fellow named Andrew Newton, works with Chip Hood, who's the general counsel, about making decisions. And what we talked about was, you got to get the right people in the room or in the Zoom. Don't overreact and work the problem. Question comes up I want to ask you about. Do you think that the fact that it's in the Zoom instead of the room might have been a part of the problem in the Big Ten?
Yes. And you know what's interesting? The SEC met in late July in person. It was the only time we've had that happen. We had the commissioner on right afterwards. It was an extraordinary decision to bring everyone in, but the commissioner told us, and so have others, they really wanted to spend the day talking and trying to understand everyone. And you understand this better than most, dealing with some of the high-level decisions that come in front of you, the life-changing decisions. It's hard to communicate looking at a computer screen. I've had a lot of meetings, as everyone watching and listening has, and you lose something. You lose a great deal.
You certainly do. And the Big Ten, they should have said, these guys have private jets. Every one of those universities.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, they can fly those folks into Ann Arbor or anywhere the same day and fly them home the same night. I think that was a crucial mistake to make this decision in the Zoom and not in the room. I called out to California this morning and talked to Dr. John Imes, who's a senior scientist with the EPA. And Dr. Imes is on duty out there working the fires. He models, wind direction and smoke. He indicated that some of the high schools have canceled football games because of the smoke. He said the fire he was working in Northern California was as big as the state of Rhode Island. That's not big, but it's for states, but it's big for a fire. How much is the smoke going to affect the decision of the Pac-12?
You know, it's a good question. John Wilner was on here yesterday. He was in San Jose. And he said the game last weekend between Ohio State and Oregon, of course it was scrub, but it would not have been able to be played. Right now, I think it's extremely difficult. You're seeing baseball games shifted. You're seeing, I don't know if there are any NFL games out there this weekend outside, but it's extremely difficult to do. The thing that concerns me about the Pac-12 is they didn't make a decision today. If they want to play by the end of October, they had to get it done, and they didn't. So I think they're dragging their feet a little bit. Even if they start, I'm not sure how serious we can take them. if they only get a 6 or 7 game season in. At least the Big Ten, as late as they are, will play 9 games if everything goes well. But just watching today, you've seen it with North Carolina losing a game. Baylor Houston was scrubbed. The odds of everyone getting through without missing a week is pretty slim.
I believe that's right. I think so. By the way, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 basing these decisions on the testing has changed. The testing has changed. That's like cheap perfume. You can smell it, but don't drink it. Don't swallow it.
Exactly. Well said. Hey, yeah. Thank you, Judge. Always great to hear from you.
Thank you, sir.
You be well. Let's continue. Rick is in Tennessee, and you're on the air. Hello, Rick.
Oh, Paul, I was just wondering, do you think that the volunteers will take a knee when they come out?
I have not heard that discussed. A lot of college teams do not come out for the national anthem. In fact, most do not. I'll have to double check on Tennessee. Belvedere in Austin, Texas. Hello, Belvedere.
Hello, Paul, Regent of Clairvoyance and Reason. How are you doing today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Good. Hey, before I name my next oil field after your favorite racehorse, you know, I heard your interview with Will Healy the other day with a UNC coach, and they postponed the game against Mac Brown's team because of the lack of linemen. Is that what I'm saying? Is that, do you have a specific number?
Yeah, the SEC put out some criterion today. I'll have to go through it. I mean, it's 53 scholarship players. It's one scholarship quarterback. It's X number of linemen. I mean, there are some protocols in place. I don't think the majority of the SEC schools will have difficulty unless you get a total wipeout. But, you know, in his case, he just had to make a pragmatic decision that, you know, we didn't
okay,
have.
Okay, so that was on his part. That was pragmatic.
Yeah, every ACC school gets a one non-conference game against someone from within your own state. That's the requirement. And
gotcha. Well, my question was, I wonder, couldn't you call everyone on the team a lineman, a safety, a quarterback, or?
Well, I mean, yeah, you could. Listen, Belvedere, you could have played the game. It would have been a disaster to watch, and that's really we're going to see games here soon, where they're just simply mismatched, and at some point the game has to have some integrity, and I give Coach Healy credit for realizing and even as important as that game was, and remember he already lost $1.5 million game against Tennessee, which was supposed to be the opener, to go up there and embarrass your it's not only embarrassing your program, it's endangering the health and well-being of your football team.
Well, I understand that.
I mean, Belvedere, this is not tough guy boxing. This is college football, where if you go to North Carolina with one healthy lineman, and you know you're playing a top 10, top 15 team, and they destroy your quarterback, your season's over.
Okay, you convinced me on that for sure. Okay. Hey, real quick here as well. I'm going to send you a book on LBJ. He's a it's a book on the state governor of Texas, but it's really characterized as LBJ. It's called Billy Lee Brammer. It's called The Gay Place for whatever reason. The other one last thing, Paul. So, what is the name of your favorite racehorse ever?
I'd probably go Spectacular Bid. How about that?
I'm sorry, who?
Spectacular Bid.
You got it. The next field we are going to name that we drill well it's going to be the spectacular bid number one after Paul Finn.
I cannot wait. There have been some racehorses that have had similar names. I think they had one last year. Anyway, we're up against a break. We have a lot to do, and we've had a busy show already. We will take a break and more of your phone calls when we come back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back to the program, and it has been a busy one on the show. So let's get right back to the calls, and Jeff is up next. Hey, Jeff.
What's going on, Paul?
Jeff, we are doing great. What's up with you?
Man, I like the smooth jazz coming out of the break, my man.
Well, we got some good musicians behind the scene.
Yeah. Hey, that Belvedere guy that calls in, if he sends you any book or anything, make sure you have some good contact testing. I don't think I trust anything coming from that guy.
Yeah, we hired somebody to test the mail from now on.
I would for sure. Hey, what a beauty your boy Mike Griffith is. I mean, is he an agent for the Bulldogs, or is he a reporter? I can't tell.
He's an agent provocateur.
Yeah. I mean, I've never heard a reporter promote the players more than that guy does. But it's hard to take the guy serious because all I can hear in the back of my head is him propping up Butch Jones back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
When he was running around Knoxville. But my, oh, my, is he – The guy's a beauty, and he's a good guest just because he's.
Yeah, you know what? The one thing I like about him, Jeff, it doesn't. I mean, you know, he defended Butch Jones down to the final day, I believe.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he is passionate about the team he covers.
There's no doubt. Hey, speaking of reporters and the media, has COVID exposed the term sources is basically being a fraud? More than anything.
Yeah, it's been a rough couple of months for the football media.
Yeah, and their sources. I mean, I never saw so many misreporting by sources as the whole Big Ten drama exposed. That was classical. Hey, Paul, one question I've got that I don't hear anybody really talking about. What have you heard about how much hitting has been going on in these practices? I'm hearing some programs haven't hit for months.
I have asked coaches that, and I think, you know, it's pretty obvious Navy didn't hit. Coach Ken said that afterwards. Who did I have on the other day? He said they were very, very careful about hitting. I think it's interesting. It's an interesting question. I think some of the schools are trying to scrimmage now. I mean, we've had but the quarterbacks never get hit, so that's not really the issue. But I think it's been lighter than it's ever been before.
Because I heard a lot of coaches are concerned about how effective their linemen are going to be.
Right.
And I don't think in the Big Ten they're allowed to hit till the end of the month, till the end of September.
No, I think you're right. We've had a couple of interesting games, but we're not going to see a whole lot this weekend. But I'm really interested in next weekend, especially on some evenly matched games, what it looks like. Because some of the games that I've already seen, you can tell these teams have not done serious practicing by old school methods, is what I mean.
And do you think that's because of COVID, or do you think it's because they don't want to get anybody injured?
I think that's it.
And the roster could get depleted.
I thought it was interesting. Mark Stoops said he had a chart of who had COVID, who didn't.
Right.
I mean, you've got to be a chess wizard to figure this thing out right now. And you know what we're already seeing. You don't have to have. The theory that everybody has COVID on your team is going to get you immunity is not true because of the contact tracing. I think it was yesterday when Will Healy from Charlotte said he only had one positive, and they had to shut the whole team down. So you better be careful. You better be smart. But I think you answered the question. You don't want to lose a bunch of players. And I have not. I mean, I've seen a few players injured, but usually by this point, you're getting players already gone for the season with ACLs or things
right.
like that. And I have not heard many yet.
No, and I think that's a sign of how these schools are practicing. And I was shocked when I heard how little hitting is really going on. I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard down in Florida up until a couple weeks ago, they hadn't hit since the end of last season, really with the pad.
And remember, too, Jeff, without spring football, I mean, in spring football, you're definitely going to test your players, but yeah, nobody wants to, even if you get somebody hurt in spring, unless it's a major, it requires surgery of some sort, you'll get them back. But you're not getting them back now.
No. And you're right. This 21-day deal in the Big Ten, my oh my, is it going to be a game changer?
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. But I tell you what, I've never been a big fan of Augie, but I'm starting to lean his direction. That it might just be one big asterisk this year.
Hey, by the way, Jeff, I was on ESPN Tuesday, I guess, when the story broke, or Wednesday, whatever day it was, and I gave Ryan Day a lot of credit. And got a lot of. I have never realized what a bunch of malcontents that Nebraska has. I mean, we all know Nebraska made a lot of noise, but you tell me, did anyone in the Big Ten listen to Nebraska?
I don't think so, but I know a lot of Ohio State fans have been supportive of Nebraska just because they at least, unlike Michigan,
well, they did, but
tried to get the
no, they did. I think they deserve a modicum of credit, but when Ryan Day spoke, people listened.
No question, and there's no question in my mind that a lot of the parents from Ohio State players. You know as well as I do, some of that was probably orchestrated.
No, that was a really big deal. Hey, Jeff, we're out of time. We have to go to a break. Another hour to go. We'll talk a little bit about the Crimson Tide in the next hour. And also, there is a major golf tournament going on, and Tiger Woods is not doing very well. Michael Collins later on.